Hey everybody, this episode of Rock Paper Podcast is sponsored by Gaslight. Check it out at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard on the Hill, or online at gaslightstl.com. Come take a look at what they got going on over there. Book yourself a tour. Come in and check out the facilities. A lot of really unique stuff going on. If you haven't been over there yet, it's a great recording studio with a bar attached. Just a cool hangout, and you get to hear some great music coming out of St. Louis. A lot of really cool recordings going on over there. So again, gaslightstl.com for more information and full listing of events. A couple great events coming up over there. October 2nd, STL Tone Taste Test, including a bunch of great musical equipment and gear, and live demos from a bunch of great St. Louis musicians, all recorded by Loft Sessions and Gaslight. It's all going to be a good party going on, especially if you're a gearhead. So come out October 2nd and check that out. Also, mark your calendar, October 9th, Rock Paper Podcast 300th episode party going on over at the Gaslight. We'll have special guest Cabo. We'll have Loft Sessions there recording it for video. We'll have Four Hands and Urban Chestnut Beer. We'll have Cha Cha Chow. And we'll have Smoking Hot Cigars and Jameson Irish Whiskey. So it's going to be a great day. Come on out. It's a $10 event on October 9th. Full listings, again, on GaslightSTL.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Josh from Disguise the Limit, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Gottfried, Illinois, hanging out with the guys of Disguise the Limit. Welcome to the show, guys.
What's up?
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, this is, three-fifths of the band, right?
Yeah, three-fifths.
Yeah, you guys want to, I guess, go around and say hi and introduce yourselves for those listening?
My name is Josh, and I sing in the band.
What's up, guys? My name is Bruce. I play drums.
And I'm Neil, and I play bass and jump around like a fool.
Yeah. Is that part of the job description?
Yes.
Yeah. I do feel like, I mean, obviously, you know, each band has different roles and stuff. I mean, usually it's not the drummer being able to jump around as much or whatever since they're behind the kit, but yeah, either it's the front man or a bass player or a guitar player, but there's always somebody in the band that has to have that role. So
Bruce actually does backflips behind the drum set.
I'm working on the double right now.
Right. But yeah, no, it's always a lot of fun. You get that guy that's like the hype man kind of running around and get everybody jumping around with him and stuff, and so I think that's it's always fun to see at a live show, when they're getting into their own music and stuff, and it helps get us loosened up as a fan to get more involved in. But yeah, I figured it'd just be cool to get together and hang out, talk about the band and get to know you guys a little better. I've seen you a couple times over Pops and things through our local music scene, and so what, you guys did a couple Battle of the Bands, kind of whatever, Road to Point Fest thing, and so I've seen you guys over there a few times, and but yeah, just didn't really know a lot about the group, but I wanted to get to hang out, talk, get to know more about you guys, so here we are.
Awesome.
Yeah, but so yeah, where does Disguise the Limit get started?
Really, myself and Ian, one of the other guitarists, kind of started it out. We were jamming around. We really went to Craigslist and found Josh. And then a couple weeks later, we met up with Dustin, who I had known previously. And he came out and jammed with us. And then, it was pretty much instant chemistry between the four of us. We wrote most of our current catalog of music, relatively quickly. I'd say over, 60% or something at least of what we have finished, just immediately. And then all the while, we didn't really have a permanent drummer. A couple months later, we found Bruce, and who I actually went to school with, and I was like, "Hey, man, you want to play drums?" He was like, "I haven't in a while, but sure." And he came out and tried out, and the rest is history, I guess you could say. But it was just pretty much instant chemistry between five dudes who just want to play, write, and share awesome music.
What? When was this?
Ian and I got together for the first time in July 2014. Okay. I wouldn't say this collective group didn't really start until about March of 2015. So we're barely over a year. As far as the majority of us as a full active band, we haven't even really been active for a year. We've been playing shows for 10 months now. Got a few others to round out the year before we start recording and writing the rest of the album.
That's crazy already, though. Only a year or so into this thing, and you guys are at this point where, you have some songs, getting ready for some new recordings and talking about the road and all this other stuff. But, yeah, that's cool. There's a lot of bands that don't even get past that 1 year mark. So
it's definitely not us. We set out goals, and some of them are not maybe necessarily easily attainable, but it's something that we're going to challenge ourselves. but not make it so impossible to where it's like, all right, guys, we're just discouraging ourselves because we're never going to... Like, so we set goals, you know, for example, last year, or this year, I guess, earlier this year with Point Fest, that was kind of a goal that we had made, and we just kind of made that our objective to, you know, that was our focus. And now, after that, really, our from the other shows, our focus has mostly shifted probably toward just writing and finishing up the album so we can, you know, at least have a full album worth of stuff to push and start hitting other markets and, you know, maybe hit some regional areas.
Yeah. excuse me. I've been messing with this allergy stuff, so I've been voice and everything else has been crazy. But yeah, so you guys, I guess you guys are all from this area around Godfrey, or
we're kind of spread out a little bit. Me and Neil are around this area, and Ian also are kind of in the Alton Godfrey area.
Yeah,
I live in Brentwood right now.
Okay.
So and I used to live out in Kirkwood. So you know, it was definitely, it is a trek for me out here, but. You know, we're doing something special and something that we all really appreciate, and so it's not a difficult decision for me to make.
Sure, yeah. That you were saying, being meeting up through Craigslist and stuff. That's I don't know. I find that crazy. Like, I mean, but it happens a lot. But it's always nice to hear that it's successful. You know, that it's actually worked out.
Okay.
Because like. I just, you know, I would always imagine the worst, and like, but it's nice to hear stories that are, you know, it's like everything just clicked and it worked nicely. So it is crazy to think, though, that meeting up through the internet like that and it all worked out. But
yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I knew that, you know, in the beginning of 2015, I said, you know, I played music all my life, but for a while I wasn't doing it, and so I told myself that, you know, by the end of 2015 I wanted to play a live show, just one live show. And and then one day I was at work and I just decided to go on Craigslist randomly and found their ad and talked to Neil, listened to some recordings that they had and of just instrumental stuff, and really liked it. I thought it was tight, it sounded great. So I wanted to be a part of it, and I remember the day that I came out to the practice. You know, up until that point, I was thinking, okay, this is either going to be great or I'm going to get murdered. You know, it's like going out into a place that I don't know, and so, you know, but it turned out great. They were really welcoming, and like Neil mentioned, we just hit it off, and you know, I could see that these guys were dedicated, and so I knew it would be a perfect fit.
Sure. Yeah, I did one of these podcasts. I went, it's happened more frequently since then, but one of the first, I got had an email from a group that wanted to be involved in the show, and I was like, all right, yeah. And then, like, I got, you know, they gave me their address. I went and met them, and I was like, and it was kind of, we went down in their basement. I was like, yeah, either this is going, you know, really good or really bad, and like, and... But ultimately, like I said, it was awesome, and I had a great time, and these guys have become buddies of mine now, you know, a year later and stuff, and but it's just kind of funny. But yeah, you kind of roll the dice, like, all right, here we go, see what happens, and
right.
And it worked out. But yeah, it's kind of fun, man, when you kind of let go and see what happens. And like I said, luckily, it's always been a good story so far. It's I don't know, the internet's a crazy thing, bring us all together like this. And I mean, that's how I've been discovering a lot of these bands, though, like just you know, through networking and stuff. You know, I do a show with one group, and then their friends listen, and another group will say, hey, we want to get involved too. And so this show has ultimately helped me constantly discovering new music as well. So anybody that's listening is probably, you know, can help, can discover music with me. So but yeah, no, it's cool, man. So what did you, when you went down there, what did you sing? What Did you have some songs?
So I had, I couldn't really get a copy of the song. So basically I just had a cable that I went out and back into my computer and played it, you know, and recorded it into a DAW, and then just wrote a verse and a chorus over it, and then sent it to them sort of as a, you know, I don't want to waste anybody's time. Here's what I can do. If you like it, I'll come out and we'll see if we mesh. So basically when I went there, we just played that song and I sang the parts that I had written, which wasn't much, and then, you know, just kind of hung out and talked and you know, jammed a little bit.
I was talking to these guys, Tree 14. They're
yeah,
reggae guys that really great. But they had a similar story about getting their guitar player Brad in there, and they were made me laugh because I guess there was something to do with Jimmy Buffett autograph or something, and Brad set his beer on the autograph, and they were and Joe was like, it was his autograph, and he was like, oh man, it's not going to work, you know. he already putting his beer on his autograph and all this stuff. So ultimately, like I said, it did work out, but it was just a funny story, them also meeting through Craigslist like that. So but yeah, so you guys are looking to kind of slow down here at the end of the year, show wise, but getting into writing and recording. And
yeah, I wouldn't necessarily classify it as slowing down, just kind of shifting focus.
Yeah, toward, just not live shows.
Yeah.
We haven't just been relentlessly playing in every space there is. You know, I think something that's helped us, get as far as we have, you know, this far, has been picking the right shows. You know, because although we're doing this because we're passionate about making music and sharing it, you know, I feel like we're pretty smart about what we're doing, and you know, it's tough work to you know, load up and transport and so as far as thinking about the longevity of it, and you know, just playing the right shows with the right people, and you know, putting 110% in it when we do that. So you know, to have a couple more shows this year, you know, is pretty on pace with how we've been playing. You know, it helps us stay energized and focused, and like Neil said, we're gonna record the rest of the album, which right now we are at 7 songs.
6 are recorded, 7 are written.
Yeah.
The 8th one is almost there.
Yeah. And so we're looking at 11, I think, is our target. So that's really exciting. I mean, our writing process is really quick and it's a lot of fun. So to be able to, you know, to focus on that will be, you know, enjoyable.
I hear a lot too from bands when they get to that point where they, you know, get into the studio and they're getting ready to record this, and all of a sudden, I don't know if it's just the creativity of being there in the studio, or just the idea of a deadline, a crunch time kind of thing, and where, you know, you have to push yourself to do something different or whatever it is. But we hear a lot of these stories where they get in there and then all of a sudden they write another song while they're recording. And then they're like, oh, no, this has got to go on the record now. This is, there's something really special about this song. And, so, you know, all of a sudden that turns into a 12-track album or whatever it is, you know. So, but, yeah, so hopefully, you never know. Maybe those next couple of songs that you're looking to write and record might come pretty quickly.
Definitely. It could happen. The way we're doing this first album, it's kind of a complete story. So we kind of know roughly where we need to fill in the blanks with tracks that are missing. I think as far as the number of tracks, I think that will maybe be pretty much where we're figuring it's going to be. But we have the benefit of, you know, having a studio where we practice. So it's like we can, you know, we kind of get a song laid out, determine where it's going to fit and fit in on the album, and then we kind of just work around that. So mostly we, you know, it's just fill in the blanks here and there instead of, you know, just writing, okay, we need 8 tracks for the, you know, to finish this album or whatever. And it's like, you don't know order, you don't know, you know, content or anything like that. So we kind of have a little bit of a benefit knowing, you know, where we need to fill in the blanks. Cause it helps us, like, with the tone of the song, you know, if it's going to be an upbeat song or if it's going to be kind of a slower, more chill song. Like, it helps us knowing, like, all right, well, where in the story is this? Is this, like, a big climactic part, or is it, you know, like, Lord of the Rings where they're walking up a mountain for 2.5 hours, you know? So it's like, it kind of, you know, varies, you know, so that definitely is helpful.
Sure.
But, yeah, we've got 5 guys who music just is everything about all of us, so it's like, and, like, when we write, I mean, we could very well end up with, you know, half of a second album by the time it's all said and done. Like,
right.
in that sense, yeah, we may end up with more music than what we intended for the album. But as far as it going on this particular album, I think we're pretty much
right.
Kind of have an idea of how that's going to end up.
Yeah. What? I mean, yeah, not to put any. You know, dates or deadlines on you guys, but do you have an ideal release or anything?
Not really. We haven't really talked about that so much. I don't know. What do you guys
think? I think ideally, I mean, we've got about four more songs to record. So I think ideally, you know, we have everything to the point right now that all the songs that are recorded are pretty well mixed. But they still need some attention on mixing and mastering, and I think probably by the time we get all 11 tracks recorded, I would like to, you know, spend at least a month, maybe 2 months, having everybody over and just really diving in with the mixing mm-hmm. and making sure it's, you know, as good as we can possibly get it, because the unfortunate thing is it's all being recorded down at a home studio, and it's nice to have all the time in the world, but that's also kind of playing against you.
Yeah.
Because you're always thinking, you know, this could be better, this could be better. So
sure.
I think setting a deadline is pretty important. And to me, you know, I think realistically probably about spring next year
would probably be
a good target.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be cool. There's a lot of great... Me and Neil, we were just on Neil's radio show. We were talking about there's just so many great albums and, you know, song music coming out right now and in town. It's exciting to be a part of this St. Louis music scene and see so many people, you know, doing that, making their records and doing things creatively and you know, making it happen. So
yeah, it seems like it's really flourishing right now. There's a lot of really amazing bands in this area, and a lot of them new, you know, within the last year or 2 years, and that's awesome. It's been a while since I've been this excited about the music scene in St. Louis.
Sure.
That was unexpected.
So what gets you guys backtrack a little bit, but what kind of gets you guys wanting to pick up your instruments and you know, pursue this as a you know, passion and stuff?
For me,
or for, well, I guess for vocals and stuff too.
Sure. For me, I've always sang. Growing up in choir and stuff like that, and got more serious about it my senior year in high school, and for me, you know, I for a long time, like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't doing music after I graduated from college. I wasn't playing, and you know, it just felt like that was the missing piece in my life that that I needed to have. And so, you know, I realized that anytime I'm playing music, whether it's, you know, the songwriting process or actually playing shows. It's just I'm really happy, and so you know, that's what kind of drives me to keep going. And you know, I like to sing. It's as far as instrument goes, I would say that it's the easiest to. I mean, it's always, I always have the ability to sing whenever I want. You know, you can't always carry a drum set around, you know, in your car when you feel like, you know, singing or something like that, or playing or something like that. So, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to just, you know, access that at any time. And I just, I know that it'll be important to, you know, my family, you know, in the future and stuff like that. So I want to keep, I want to keep it sharp and learn and get better.
Mm-hmm. What, did you have a certain singer that inspired you though to want to try it, to push yourself to do this, or?
Not really. I mean, you know, I wish I did. But I think just all the music, you know, that I listen to in general, you know, and seeing people watching live shows and seeing that kind of stuff, just excited me. And, mm-hmm. and I'm sure I'm influenced by, you know, I'm influenced by everything I've yeah. heard. But I didn't want to focus so intensely on a single person.
Sure.
Because I wanted to make sure that whatever I was doing, it was me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to lose it and trying to emulate, you know, somebody else. And I've always been sort of fearful that that would happen with my singing style. And I think I was maybe trying to chase a certain sound at the beginning of this band. I mean, we were still writing these songs, and I didn't even know how I was going to sing. You know, I was still working on stuff like that, even while recording. And now I feel like I've found it, and I'm comfortable with how I sing, you know, with this band, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I've never done it before. I've always done like acoustic pop kind of songs that people would want me to learn to play, and I would play them. And you know, so doing this kind of like alt rock thing has been really fun.
Yeah, very cool. How about you, Bruce? What did you what influenced you to start playing?
Well, mine was actually probably whenever I was about 8 or 9 years old. I've got a family that's full of music, and I have one cousin in particular. His name's Jason Gordon. He is just a phenomenal player. Nowadays, you can see him playing like an entire band's worth of musical instruments, and he loops everything and does these elaborate cool covers. And I saw him back whenever he was really young, and he was playing Johnny Be Good or something on acoustic guitar, and it just rocked my world. And so like ever since that moment I decided that this is what I wanted to do. And so I picked up guitar and drums whenever I was 11, and I've been playing both ever since. I've joined the first band I could possibly get into, and I've been booking myself. Right now I've got 3 bands that I practice with on a weekly basis, so it's just kind of a lifeblood, you know. It keeps me going, makes me want to go to work to get the money to pay for, you know, this and everything. And
right.
you know, I love family and everything, so all of it together, really, it just kind of makes me feel whole. And I think if I didn't have that, I'd be pretty sad and depressed most of the time.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's I'm the same. I mean, like again, I don't play, but being the show is sort of my, you know, creative outlet. And but yeah, the same way I look at it. If I don't do the show, I start kind of going out to live shows and stuff. If I don't have my dose of live music for the week, I start having withdrawals, kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
It's like it's definitely my addiction. You know, it's like I love the music, and I love just the whole live show, man. So
I wouldn't know who I am without music.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know myself at all.
Right. So has it always been bass for you, Neil?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, like when I was really young, I wanted to play guitar, but I think they say every musician starts off wanting to be a guitarist, which I kind of agree with, but at the same time I don't. I think that's the the glory instrument. You know, right. Someone like everyone wants the spotlight on them where they're sure. shredding a solo, sure. whatever. They're like, ah, you know, everyone wants that. But I mean, really, just being on stage is it for me. Like, that's my favorite time. And then, like, off of stage, I'm quiet and reserved, you know, and, you know, keep to myself for the most part. You guys may disagree with that. You know, like, I'm not the loudest, you know, in a normal situation. But, yeah, when I'm on stage, I definitely feel like, you know, like I'm not really the center of attention because I don't aim to be the center of attention, but I feel like I'm definitely noticed more on stage than not on stage. And I just, and not even to be noticed, just like to feel like the whole energy is just, I don't know. That's just it for me, like for real.
You're talking about, like, you know, everybody wanted to be a guitar player and stuff, and like I can remember, you know, my bunch of my friends playing guitar, and or, you know, the guy that shows up at the party with a guitar and sings some songs and that stuff, and then it's like, and the girls always went crazy for it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it's like, I never really understood it all.
That was that guy.
I never really understood it until, like, you know, I'm an adult, and like I see these women now playing guitar, some of my favorites, like Samantha Fish and like one of these super talented ladies that can just shred on guitar too. And then like all of a sudden it all clicked. Like, I mean, there's something about that, like, especially when they are that good at their instrument, but just makes them very attractive. And like you know, you see that, but all of a sudden, like I said, it took me a long time to realize, like, that was what's going on back then. Like, there's something about the music and them playing and singing and everything else, like something about guitar that I don't know what it is, but it works. But but that's what a lot of these guys, you know, they all kind of, a lot of them get started just because of the girls. They want to get out there and meet girls and stuff. And
yeah, it's hard showing up anywhere with just the bass. Like, hey guys, I want to play you. Right. Check out this funky little. No, it's like it's hard to pull off. So no, I definitely get that aspect of the guitar. But I mean, even with drums, like, you know, it's like no one's showing up to a party with like a snare drum and a kick drum. Like, all right, guys, check out this beat I'm about to play for you. Like,
yep.
Or like maybe some marching drums. I don't know. That would be it would be interesting to see. But it's just, you know, something I've never heard of. But.
Yeah. Well, let's get a plug out there for you guys. You do have a, you guys are going on the road a little bit, but you do have a St. Louis show October 22nd at Just Bills, and you'll be playing with Dead to Begin With.
Which is one of Bruce's other projects.
Oh,
pulling double duty that night.
Oh, yeah.
We need drumming or guitar that night?
Well, drums for The Sky's the Limit, guitar for Dead to Begin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Dead Planet, Con Man Economy, and Pirate Signal, which are friends of the show. I've had Pirate Signal on. I don't know. I know the name Con Man Economy, but I haven't really met those guys yet, or Dead Planet, or Dead to Begin With yet. But
Of the Dead Planet, Disguise Limit, and I guess most of, or a good portion of Dead to Begin With, they're all Alton-based.
Okay.
Or, I know you guys on Facebook, it says St. Louis, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, from like you pretty much say you're from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's like, so right. Three of the bands are from St. Louis, or from Alton. Yeah, Pirate Signal from St. Louis, and then Con Man Economy, they're from Kirksville. They're still new to the scene as well. But yeah, John, their singer, he's a marketing guru. He's like they're currently active in like three or four different markets, and like, I mean, they're playing all, like, they'll play a show here like on a Saturday, and then like on a Sunday they'll be playing 3 hours away there, and then like the next day they'll be playing. Yeah, you know, so like the hustle that they have is awesome. And it's like we were talking about earlier, it's cool to see that, you know, from another musician standpoint, but just being involved in the scene at all, it's cool to see, you know, how much work other bands are putting into their craft.
Yeah.
You know, no one's taking anything for granted or expecting handouts or anything like that. So yeah, it's good to see, you know, hardworking bands.
Sure. So you guys are Chicago? Is that right?
Chicago, October 15th.
Yeah. So anybody, you got some friends or family in Chicago area, tell them to come out October 15th.
Yeah, we'll be playing with our friends in Gatsby. We brought them down here July 9th and played a hometown show in Alton. And, we're just going to – they're going to bring us up there, and then we're just going to hit a couple more show swaps, you know, for – I mean, not the rest of this year, but we'll be hitting Chicago up again after the album's done. And then next – you know, after the album, we'll be hitting some regional dates. Trying to expand.
Yeah. You guys all load up in a van and hit the road, or how the...
We load up in Bruce's trailer.
Yeah.
And then some combination of us will be there for load up and load out. It's never the same. It's never never the whole collective for load in or load out.
But sometimes it's just me for loading.
Sometimes it's just Bruce. Sometimes it's, you know, myself and Bruce, or Ian and Bruce, or you know, being from, you know, 3-4 different cities, you know, it's like we don't all have the luxury of meeting up at one destination before the show. So a lot of the times, you know, we meet up at the actual venue.
Sure.
It's like if myself and Bruce get there first, you know, it's like, well, let's not sit around. Let's get this stuff unloaded. It's not going to unload itself, unfortunately. We're not there yet.
Yeah. So, well, and yeah, we all have day jobs and families, right, it's there's a lot of real life that happens in between all that. But yeah, I can imagine five dudes, road tripping to Chicago or whatever, and wherever you guys are going. But I imagine that it's got to be some good times. Doing that kind of stuff together.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. This would be my first time ever, you know, getting out of the St. Louis area for a band, which
mine,
is
mine as well.
I can't wait for that. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And did you say you guys are looking to Kansas City too, or something, or is that,
that
as a
that'll
goal?
Probably be in the spring.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Nashville.
That is a nice thing I feel about St. Louis. Also, is being centrally located in the middle of the map, and you can kind of hit a couple of nicer, you know, big cities, in a couple hours. So,
yeah.
You know, whatever, 3 hours to Kansas City or 5 to Chicago or whatever it is, you know, stuff. So it's like it's nice to you can travel and hit a couple of nice big towns out nearby and expand that regional market like that, like you're talking about. And especially, next year when the record comes out and then really hit it hard after that, that'd be
absolutely
fun. So, Just Bills on October 22nd. I actually never been over to Just Bills.
That's a cool little place.
Yeah.
It's a unique design, I guess. I'm not sure if it was always intended to be a music venue.
I know they do a lot for local music, though.
There's always shows there.
Kind of been a staple in the scene for many years.
Definitely.
If you're familiar with Abel, little dude that goes out to all the shows.
Oh, yeah,
He's played. He's actually played 2 different shows at Just Bills. He's done a set as a solo drummer and another set as a solo guitarist. So, that dude is he's a little rock star, and he goes out to all kinds of shows, and it's awesome seeing someone so young just like live music the way, you know, I like to. I claim I am like that, but I think that dude out rocks me by a lot.
I've seen him a bunch of shows with headbanging and
that kid will thrash for hours.
I wish I had that energy.
Right. So we want to we're gonna play some songs that you guys have recorded here. So you guys want to play "Wish You Well," right?
I want to do "Wish Save Me" first.
Yeah, "Save Me."
Yeah,
and then "Wish You Well."
Yeah.
What any stories behind these two tunes?
For sure. So, like Neil said, we're writing a concept album. And which for me has made it easier because I can, you know, have a sort of a mindset, an attitude, and write. So let's see, the basic premise of the story, it's about a man and a woman who are part of like a syndicate, you know, of assassins, and basically they kind of get torn apart, and so, you know, the songs walk you through that story and what's going on between them. And "Save Me" is basically her sort of reaching out to him, writing a letter saying, you know, I'm in trouble, and because he was sort of cast out, and then so you know, she's like, I'm in trouble, you need to save me or erase me, you know, forget about me, that's her plea for him to come rescue her. And then "Wish You Well" is actually before that in the album, and it is when he is escaping, when he's leaving this syndicate. It's a conversation between them, and she's saying, you know, if you want to leave, let me. You want to leave, let me wish you well. You know, I want nothing to do with you if you're gonna leave. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. It's been fun to write, and I've been, you know, I'm really proud of these songs. Before this band, I didn't write a single song. And I always thought I couldn't, and then somehow I get with these guys and I write, and it's just really exciting for me personally as well as with the band, you know, to have accomplished all this, you know, in almost 30 years not writing a song, and then suddenly I have 7 songs in, you know, if you put the time together, it's super short as far as how quickly these songs have been written, so it's really fun to see that. So that's what those songs are about.
Yeah, so do you write all the lyrics, or do you guys write some of the stuff together? Or?
I do. So basically, in a nutshell, somebody will come to practice with an idea. Typically, it'll be Ian or Dustin, our two guitarists, and they'll come with a little riff that they've been working with, or sometimes, you know, larger, longer pieces of songs, and we'll play it and start adding to it, swapping things around, and, you know, with the idea of this is where it's going to go in the album. This is, like Neil said again, like the tone, the attitude, the feeling of it. And then we get a whole song, and typically we'll, like, record just a rough version, then I take it home and write to it, write melody and lyrics to it.
Very cool. I was going to ask about the name too. "The Sky's the Limit." Is that? I mean, it sounds like a play on words. Also, with being "The Sky's the Limit."
I am a huge nerd when it comes to like wordplay.
Yeah.
Really, "The Sky's the Limit" started as a side project of mine. Probably 5-6 years ago, it never really did anything. It was more kind of like my little closet project or whatever when I was in my previous band that I will not name drop. So after, you know, that band split up and the new, like, Ian and I started jamming, and then even further after we got Josh and Dustin, we're like, we were going temporarily by the name Small Town Legends, and we discussed the name change, and I mean, that was something that I was like not super thrilled to use, just because it was something that I, you know, I'd been, you know, holding for a long time. So I wasn't like, hey, let's use this name initially. But then I was like, you know what, this is a serious project, and you know, like, I feel, you know, this fits the name and the whole, like, it really just fit the whole everything that we were going for, better than what Small Town Legends did, better than, like, it just worked out really that way.
Yeah, I think it's a fun name. I like all that kind of, you know, the stories behind it and everything, where these names come from, and I don't know, some you know, obviously some are very personal, like you're saying, and then some are just bands that hit name generator and stuff, and like there it is, you know. So some people don't have any connection with it. It's just hey, this is what we're gonna throw on our poster or whatever, and this is who we're gonna be. But we naming the show Rock Paper Podcast was we had a list of some names. We let our friends on Facebook help us decide on a name, so that's the one they all picked. So like, all right, there it is. We'll run with it. So
it's really a difficult thing, you know, deciding on what you're going to call yourself, you know, as an organization or a collective group or something. Like, it's like, all right, guys, this is who we are now. It's like, it's not something, all right, guys, this is our name, and then 2 weeks later, yeah, that name sucked, let's go by this name. Right. And then a month later, it's like, yeah, you know what, let's go to this name. That name kind of sucks, too, you know. So it's like, and it's hard, you know, and then you think you find something that's just like, that's it, that's us, and then, you know, you do the Google search or the Facebook search, and there's 19 other bands with that same name. It's like, ah, I just want a name.
Right.
So yeah, we hit that quite a few times. Like, hey, what about this name? And it's like, dang it, Facepalm.
Yeah, that's the trick too, being Googleable. You know, like, yeah, being able to people search for you. But yeah, that's usually, I don't know, it is funny how, like, I've heard stories also where, like, a band gets contacted. I was talking to these guys the other night, Odds Lane, and one of the other names they had, there was some band in, like, Denmark or something like that that contacted them and wanted to buy the rights to the name and all that, so they sold the name and went with Odds Lane and switched their name, so... But yeah, just it's crazy. I mean, but you got to look at, you're not even looking at just U.S. That's, you know, worldwide. You have to,
right.
And so like, how many names are, you know, trying to be unique compared to the world,
and not just have some, you know, goofy words thrown together. Right. Like, although sometimes that works too.
Sure. Yeah. That's what I think is difficult too for like comedians, you know, because a lot of them are just using a name,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, it's hard to really like stand out when you have a name that's very common to a lot of other guys and stuff.
Hi,
so,
I'm Jim Smith. I'm gonna tell you some jokes,
right? But yeah, trying to find, yeah, especially people trying to find you online, it's always, you know, difficult.
Yeah, you have to have very specific information. You
right,
comedian Jim Smith. It's like some kid that's in high school. It's like, hey, tried to be funny, but I wasn't.
Right. All right. Well, we'll throw these tunes on, and so people can get a taste of some of the sounds. And again, you can come out on October 22nd to Just Bills and see these guys throw down with Dead to Begin With, Dead Planet, Con Man Economy, and Pirate Signal. You guys selling tickets or just?
Nah, it's $5 at the door.
$5 at the door.
If you show up in costume, it is the week before Halloween, so if you show up in costume, you will get to save, I think, $1 off the entry fee or something. There may be some drink special tied to costumes as well.
All right.
But yeah, I know you save some money if you're in costume, pretty much.
You guys dressing up?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was talking to somebody else was doing some Halloween show. Oh, it was a Dance Floor Riot I was talking about. And then and there's six of them that play, and I was like, well, are you guys all going to dress up individually or try to find something that works for all six six of you to dress as a theme or something. But so, what do you? If you guys are dressed up, what are you thinking? What are you thinking going as a theme or?
I don't know. If we do a theme, it'd probably be Bruce's dream would probably be Ninja Turtles with Master Splinter.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That was it's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That I went to see. I guess it was the first movie that, and then when they in the reboots, and they gave away masks AMC, so like in the reversible. So yeah, I have my Ninja Turtle mask, and you know, might throw it on every now and then and practice a little karate.
which weapon do you use?
I don't have any. I just, you know, these guns.
Just the guns.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
But I do love that. I mean, it's fun. But like all that stuff's like coming back. You know, all this nostalgia for a lot of us. You know, born in the 80s or early 90s or whatever. You know, like there's just a lot of that stuff's like all coming back. And you know, even Bruce showed up drinking a Surge. So it's like you know, just so much. I think they just brought back Crystal Pepsi a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is like. Just some things were fine, gone away, but
I got the Eco Coolers.
Yeah, now the new Ghostbusters. Yeah, but no, it's it is crazy. I think I was been watching that Stranger Things, and I think that's what makes that show so popular is like that it's like everything you loved about 80s TV and movies and stuff. It's like all kind of these. Blender of things that are, you know, E.T. and Aliens and Stephen King stuff and all, like, it's just so many influences on them, and they made it their own, and it's like, and it worked, you know. It's like a,
so it feels like it's been around your entire life,
right?
Deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I think there's like, you know, there's some Goonies vibe in there and some of that kind of, you know, it's just like, so I think I mean ultimately that's how a band works, you know. It's like you bring in all your influences and just make your own thing to make you guys stand out. So
for sure.
So yeah, it's a good formula, it works. But so yeah, keep an eye out, new tunes coming soon. And what we got, Facebook, we're on there,
facebook.com/disguisethelimitofficial. We've got disguisethelimitband.com is our actual website. We've got our 5-track EP for sale. We've got videos. We update the concert calendar and stuff like that. Facebook is probably the easiest to follow us on. We've got a YouTube page. You have to type in specifics to find us because it's a random number.
Yeah, you don't get the full URL until you have X amount of subscribers now. So
yeah,
we have a placeholder for the moment.
Yeah, they got some crazy rules on some of that stuff.
Yeah, so please find us and subscribe so that we can get our real name.
If you watch the videos from our website, then you'll be able to find all our videos a little easier than having to type in, because I couldn't even tell you what that number is. You know, it's youtube.com/073PLM2 random whatever, you know. So it's like I couldn't even guess at what
right.
It is, but yeah, pretty much Facebook or our actual website, disguisethelimitband.com.
Get on there, grab the EP, hold you over till the full length's coming out.
Yeah, we got 5 tracks on there. I think we've got, do we have a 6th track streaming on SoundCloud, or do we have just the 5?
I think we just have the 5 right now on SoundCloud. Yeah, SoundCloud is another good place. We might upload some tidbits here and there while we're progressing on the album. So that would be a good place to find anything new that we're working on that we're excited to share.
Yeah.
SoundCloud.com/disguisethelimitofficial.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to play Wish You Well. So stick around for that. Follow them online. The sky's the limit. band.com and get involved. Tell them what you think of the songs.
Please.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.